for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday afternoon, December the 28th, 1995. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Met him yesterday, so we'll just let him teach as the Lord leads him this afternoon. And we will learn.
Lord Jesus, just come, Lord Jesus. Oh, Jesus, come. Lord Jesus, we come before you now, Lord, to open your word, Lord God. Lord, just bless this reading of your word, Lord. Touch us with your spirit, Lord God. Touch us with your spirit of healing and deliverance, Lord God. Touch us with your true rhema word, Lord, as we go forth now, Lord, that we praise you, Lord. Just thank you and we praise you and bless you, Lord. Give you the glory. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Hallelujah. You know, yesterday we talked about the spoken word. The word, remember we said that there were two kingdoms in you. As the kingdom of God, you have a nature in you that's born to the incorruptible seed of God. But you have another kingdom in you. Jesus said that the devil had nothing in him, but there is another kingdom in you. And your word that goes forth from your mouth will be empowered by either one kingdom or the other. Today we're going to talk about, we talked about the defensive weapons, and we talked about, and today we're going to talk about the offensive weapons of our warfare. And if you look back in Ephesians 6, in Ephesians 6, 16, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the spoken word of God, the rhema word of God. Now we said that the whole Bible, the whole counsel of God, is the Logos. But that portion that God gives you for a situation that you're in, that He quickens to you, is the rhema word of God. And that's the word that goes forth and is empowered with His Spirit and will bring forth. He says, my word will not return to me void, but will accomplish that which I send it forth to do. It has His breath, His Spirit. And when you speak forth a true rhema word, one that is empowered by His Spirit, it will come to pass. And as you pray, God will give you that which you need to say. And we said the sword of the Spirit is divided into three things. First is the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the great and exceedingly promises. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. I want you to read this slowly and let it sink into you what it means. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God said, in this knowledge of Him, this is where the knowledge of Him comes from, in that all things that pertain to life and godliness. And through these great and precious promises, you can partake of the divine nature, having escaped the depravity of the world through lust. Okay. Now first, that's exceeding and great promises. And so there are three things. First is the name of Jesus. Now Jesus had all authority given to him. In Matthew 28:18, it says, all authority. Matthew 28:18. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. That's what Jesus said. Now let's look at Philippians. Let's compare that with Philippians 2:9. Therefore, because he's been obedient, therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him, Jesus, a name which is above every name. At that name, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, those in heaven, those on earth, those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so you see, his name is his authority. And he has empowered you to go forth in his authority. I showed you in the Philippians that he had been raised high above all power and principality. Philippians 1:20 says, I've been raised high above all power and principality, above every name that is named, in this world and the world to come. And Philippians 2:6 says, you have been raised up to sit with him. And he has given you his name, that you can speak with his authority, as he empowers you by his Spirit. I'll give you an example of that. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. In other words, you cannot speak with the Holy Spirit empowering your voice. You cannot speak out a rhema word. If you speak out that, you are speaking it out not of the Holy Spirit, but of another spirit, the other kingdom. Okay? And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, what does that mean? That means for it to be effective, it has to be with the Holy Spirit empowerment. Again, it has to have the breath of God, the empowerment of God going forth. And this is accomplished by your faith, by you believing, and the Holy Spirit honoring your faith by not praying amiss so that you want to squander it on your own lust. God knows your heart. He knows why you're saying it. And when you say it for the right reason, in true faith, it comes out by the Holy Spirit. You know a lot of folks that aren't living right. You know a lot of folks who come to Jesus just when they want something. Otherwise, they just want to live the way they want to live, in rebellion. Well, I'm going to tell you, rebellion grieves the Holy Spirit of God. Did you know that? Well, let's look at Isaiah. Praise you, Lord. Let's look in Isaiah 60, I think. Isaiah 63. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he turned himself against them as an enemy and fought against them. That's what it says. Everybody see that? Rebellion. Price of rebellion. The price of witchcraft. For witchcraft is a sin of rebellion. Or rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. I'm sorry. Praise you, Jesus. Okay. Now, when Jesus sent out the 10 in Matthew 10, Mark 6, 8, Luke 9 and 12, 9, 1 and 12. When he sent out his disciples, he said, I give you, well, let's look at Matthew 10, and you can look up the others, but I don't want to be here all day, and I got enough scriptures here to talk a long time. He said, when he called, Matthew 10:1, and when he called the 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases. He gave them the authority. Well, let's look over in Luke chapter 9. Okay. Praise you, Lord. Let's look at chapter 10, I'm sorry. Chapter 10, 19, he says, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. In chapter 9, let's see here. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And when they returned, they said, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said, don't be happy that the demons be happy that your life is your, that your name is in the book of life. But again, it's his name, his power. Now in Mark 16, 18 to 20, let's look at that. We'll cover that in prayer, but let's just look at it briefly here because it's, again, it's the name of Jesus that's important. Mark, Matthew 18, 16 to 20, or 18 to 20. It starts off by saying, surely I say to you, whether you bound on earth shall be bound in heaven, whether you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it shall be done for them by my Father in heaven. That word agree there means a harmony within the Spirit. And number 20 says, where two or three are led together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. The word in the King James is gathered. It can also be interpreted as being led. And I like the word led because it implies that there's a leader, mainly the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit gathers two or three people together in Jesus' name, Jesus is there. He says, when you are gathered and you're harmonizing in my spirit, then you can ask. If you're there in my name and you're harmonizing in my spirit, then you can ask. As long as you're in the spirit, you can ask, and whatever you say will be done. The name of Jesus. Now in John, he said a number of times, let's look at John 14. John 14, 13. Whatsoever you ask in my name, that I will do, and that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Okay? And then he says in 14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments.
You notice if you ask, it's to glorify the Father or the Son. Not for your own benefit.
That's right. I can assure you, if it's for your lust, if it's to squander on your lust, it won't come out with the rhema word of God. It will not have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit behind it. It may have some other. It may come to pass because it may have some demonic power behind it. Praise God. 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go out and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Remember, we went over fruit yesterday. In the men's meeting, we went over fruit. Let's look at Galatians and look at fruit. Let's look at Galatians and look at fruit. Galatians 5. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. Now, those are the things that people see in you. That's the fruit of the Spirit manifested in your life. And people see you. They see love and joy and peace. The Word says that the wicked have no peace. There is no rest for the peace. Isaiah 59. There is no rest for the wicked. They are like the sea tossing up the dirt and mire. Praise your Lord. Verse, then they have, okay, there's peace, there's joy, peace, and love, all right. Long-suffering, kindness, and goodness. Those are the things that people see in your relationship with other people. Are you long-suffering? Are you patient? Are you kind? Kind to people. You know what kindness is. Are you good? a good person, do good things. Goodness, benevolent, good, kind, patient, long-suffering. That's your relationship with other people. Folks see that in your life? Gentleness or meekness. Meekness means Moses was the meekest of all men. But you remember Moses, nobody ran over Moses. Meekness is having power under control. Self-control. And faithfulness. Faithful. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the things in your relationship with God. Are you faithful to God? You faithful? God says, get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and read the Bible. Get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and pray every morning. And you say, I'm tired. Faithful? Faithful person. You know, faithful is the same as the adverb of faith. A synonym for faithful is fidelity. Like the First Fidelity Bank and Trust. You know, fidelity. Being dependable. You can depend on it. It's going to be there. That's what God wants you to do, to be there. He says do it. You say you're going to do it. You tell somebody you're going to do something. You keep your word. God says that he who will abide in my tabernacle will keep his word to the hurt. You give somebody your word, you're going to keep it. Might cost you some money. Things change a little bit, and suddenly you see, look like you're going to lose a little money on the deal. You're trying to wiggle out of it? Or are you going to keep your word? God says, keep your word. Be faithful. And self-control. It's temperance. Those are the fruits of the Spirit that he says. And he says, I chose you and appointed you to go forth and bear that fruit. And that fruit should remain. And when that happens, whatever you ask the Father in my name, I'll give you. And so the name of Jesus is his authority. In Acts 3:16, Peter said, it was the faith in this name that made this crippled man whole, made him and restored him to perfect health. In Acts 4:12, he said, there's no other name under heaven by which you might be saved. John 1:12 said he gave you the authority to become a son of God to all who believe on his name. A son of God. Not born to blood. Not born to the will of the flesh. Or the will of man. But born to God. By supernatural means. No natural means in it. He gave you the authority to become a son of God. In his name. If you believe on his name. Colossians 3:7. Let's look at that. 3:17, I'm sorry. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Everything that you do should be in the name of Jesus. If you can do it in the name of Jesus, do it. Remember, Scripture says everything's not of faith, it's sin. Can you do it in the name of Jesus? Derek Prince once told the story when he was teaching in Africa that two young girls came up to him and asked him about going to the Saturday night prom and whether it was all right to dance. And he said that he gave them two verses. One was Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in word or do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God through him. And the other one was 1 Corinthians 10:31. And let's see. I can quote it, but I like to read it. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So if you can do it in the name of Jesus and to the glory of God, then do it. If you can do it with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, glorifying God, then do it. They didn't go to the dance, he said. Praise you, Lord Jesus. One last place of the name of Jesus is in James 5:13. I'm sorry. Is anyone suffering? Let him pray. Anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is there anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed any sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you might be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And so there in the name of Jesus, you see, healing, supernatural healing for your diseases. I personally feel that's the first thing you should do when you get sick, that you should seek out the elders of your church, that when you become ill, you should pray and ask God for help. And you should seek out the elders of your church and have them anoint you with oil. And when you go there, if you had any sins, you got anything on your conscience, you should confess it, and it will be forgiven, and you will be healed. Now, one of the bad parts about this is, back in the 30s and the 40s, whenever any good Pentecostal got sick, all of Job's comforters gathered around the bed and put them under condemnation, saying, "All right now, what kind of sin are you into? You let this illness come into you. Come on now, fess up your sin. Fess up your sin so that God can heal you." You know, Job, God never told Job why he was sick. You read all of Job, and Job was a righteous man. He was compared to Daniel and Noah, and Ezekiel said that you compared him to Daniel and Noah as pillars of righteousness. But yet he was ill, and he never knew why. And all of his comforters came around and told him it's because he'd sinned. It's because he was sinned. Now, I've heard a great number of teachings on this. I won't go any further on it. And I heard all kinds of things about him. I just point out that he was on the statue with Daniel, my favorite prophet. Daniel was the only man in the Bible in which that was the only one who nothing negative, one of the very few people, that nothing negative was ever recorded about. They never recorded anything negative about Daniel. Praise your Lord Jesus. I didn't say he didn't have anything negative. I said it wasn't recorded. Now, God, the Bible records warts and all, you know. Now, Jesus didn't have anything negative recorded about him either. Praise your Lord Jesus. And so, the name of Jesus, it's the authority of Jesus to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to bind up the devil, to loosen the powers of goodness. Those things are all done in the name of the authority of Jesus. But you must realize it is done with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. That's the reason I spent an hour and a half talking about the spoken word and how important the spoken word is, and the fact that you have two kingdoms in you, the kingdom of God and that uncrucified portion of your flesh that's still there. And sometimes it speaks out. And James tells you that that is sensual, earthly, demonic. Sometimes you speak, it empowers your words. Okay. Now we're going to talk about the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's look at Revelation 12. Now we know, the Bible tells us that right now, today, that Satan still has his headquarters in the heavenlies. Right? Didn't we go over this in Ephesians? That Satan's headquarters is in the heavenlies. Okay. Revelation 12:7. And a war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven anymore. See, this is in the future. So the great dragon was cast out. That serpent of old called the devil and Satan who deceives the whole world. And he was cast to the earth with his angels cast with him. And when I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come.
For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast out. In the heavens. Well, that matches up with Daniel, doesn't it? Because, Michael the archangel had a hard time getting through. Daniel, Gabriel, he had to go get Michael to come help him to fight the prince of Persia. To get down, it took 3 weeks. But now, after this war is over, then they're going to be cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Well, they, who is they? Is it the angels? No. Angels don't have any right to the blood of Jesus Christ. Only believers. Well, let's look at Revelation. Not Revelation, but keep your fingers there in Revelation. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5. He did not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. Okay? Look over at verse 16, chapter 2. For indeed, he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. They are the seed of Abraham. They're the ones who got a right to the blood of Jesus Christ. And did you know that if you belong to Christ, you be the seed of Abraham? Galatians 3 says, if you belong to Christ, you be the seed of Abraham and heirs to the promise. If you're not the seed of Abraham, if you haven't been adopted into the family of God, but Jesus Christ is your big brother, the son of David, you're not heirs to the promises. Therefore, you've got no right to the blood. And so we see here that they overcame him. The believers on earth overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of that testimony. They testified as to what the blood word says that the blood does for them. You need to pray and bind up the things in heaven that the kingdom of God will come. The war, when it breaks out, will depend on your prayers for victory. Why? Because God says that's the way he wants it. You know? That's the way God set it up. That's what the Word says. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Who is the Lamb of God? Let's look at John 1:29. John 1:29. John saw Jesus. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him. He said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Well, let's look at 1 Corinthians 5:7. Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you are truly unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Now, what's he talking about, the Passover? Well, let's look back at Exodus chapter 12 and see about the Passover. What is the Passover? What is the significance? And what does it mean? Exodus chapter 12. Now, you can read this whole chapter. You can go back and read it. It's very interesting. It's very detailed instructions are given. On the 10th day of the first month, they're to separate out a lamb without blemish, and they're to keep him until the 14th day. At the beginning of the day, at sunset, they are to slay him and capture his blood in a basin. And then they are to cook and eat him. He says on verse 6, chapter 12, now you shall keep it till the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of Israel shall kill it at twilight. That's the beginning of the day. And they shall take some of the blood, and they shall put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the house where they eat it. And it goes on, and on verse 13, now the blood shall be a sign to you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. What kind of plague? Well, let's look at Psalm 78, verse 49. Just keep your finger there in Exodus. Don't lose Exodus now. And let's go over and look at Psalms. Psalm 78, 49. 78, verse 49. And he cast on them the fierceness of his anger, wrath, indignation, and trouble by sending angels of destruction among them. And he made a path for his anger and did not spare their soul from death. He sent the destroying angels. God sent the destroying angels. But when the death angel saw the blood, he passed over that house. God's wrath and indignation passed over the house. Didn't come in. Death is an angel, you know. In Revelation chapter 6, 8, on the pale horse, there sat a rider whose name was Death. And one who followed behind him was Hades. And when unbelievers die, the death angel comes and steals their life, and Hades comes behind them and gathers up their souls. And in the end, Hades will deliver up all the souls for judgment. It's all in Revelation. Praise God. I don't mean to get into that. The death angel applied. So let's look at Exodus now, 21 and 22. Moses called all the elders and said, pick out and take a lamb for yourselves according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. And you should take a bunch of hyssop, which is just a weed, sort of like ragweed, and dip it in the blood that's in the basin and strike the lintel and the two doorposts, the blood in the basin. And none of you are, for the Lord will, as the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, but when he sees the blood on the lintel on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over and will not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. God's wrath passes over. Now Jesus became your Passover. And his blood is sufficient. He shed his blood, and he took that blood into the most holy place. Not with the blood of goats and bulls, but with his own blood. He delivered, he entered the Holy of Holies once and for all. Never to have to do it again. Jesus has been sacrificed for you. It is never to be repeated. There are certain denominations that sacrifice Jesus every time they have a service. And they believe that when that cracker is broken, Jesus is sacrificed again and grace is released. And they hold that cracker up and they parade it around the church and say, this is God. What an abomination. God, thank you, Lord Jesus. God, thank you, Lord. I mean, poor people are deceived. Lord, open the eyes of your people that they might behold this thing, Lord God. Open your eyes, Lord, and deliver people from bondage. Good people, Lord God. Good God-fearing people, Lord, that are trapped in bondage, Lord. Open their eyes and deliver them, Lord, from this thing, Lord. In the name of Jesus. I didn't mean to get into that. I'm sorry. Praise you, Lord Jesus, oh God. Scripture says in Psalms 107:2, says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who he's redeemed out of the hand of the enemy. Ephesians 1:7, let's look at that. God wants you to say so. You've been redeemed. He wants you to say so. Testify of the word of your testimony. Testify what the word says the blood does for you. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him, in Jesus, we have redemption. That's ransom paid in full. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You've been redeemed by the hand of the devil, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Forgiveness of sin. Now, how much of you has he redeemed? He wants to redeem all of you and forgive all your sins. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Peter says, thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. In Acts 2:38, I want you to look at that. Keep your hand in Ephesians and go over to Acts 2:38. Now, what Peter says here is repent. Turn away from your sin. And then be baptized in the name of Jesus. Because you have received remission. You're being baptized because you've received remission. That word for means because you have received. Thank you, Lord. For an event that has occurred. The word for has two meanings. People who preach baptismal regeneration use the other meaning. How much sin do you hold in your life? How much sin have you got over him that you like? Secret sin. Don't want to open that door. I've had people come in for deliverance and say, I want deliverance for this, this, and this, but I'm not ready to give up smoking yet. Oh, I want to keep that bondage demon because I enjoy doing that. But these other things are making me uncomfortable and I like to get rid of them. It won't work that way.
You just became your own God.
Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. You need to confess your sins, people. The blood of Jesus Christ will redeem you out of the hand of the enemy. For everything that you confessed, repented and turned away from. The devil hates to hear about the blood. You want to get demons upset? Quote to them. This child has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. He's not rejected. He's been redeemed. He's been accepted in the Beloved. By the blood of Jesus, Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his glory. And to the praise of the glory of his grace to which he's made him accepted in the Beloved. And demons will begin to growl and get uncomfortable. And you say it again to them. And they'll begin to shout, roll, and sometimes they come out. And sometimes they just get, you see this person is getting sick at the stomach. Because that demon is so uncomfortable with the blood. The first thing is that you've been redeemed. But unconfessed sin and unforgiveness will block your deliverance. Block your redemption. You got unforgiveness in your life? Let's look at Matthew 6:6. You heard this and heard this and heard this, but we'll hear it again. Because it is so absolutely important. I've heard this verse explained away by modern theologians a half dozen different ways. 6:14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. It says the same thing in Mark 11:25-26, and Luke 6:38. And we turn over to Matthew 18 and see what it says there. Sister Coffey talked about this one. I have a different translation from her, though. 18:35. And the master was angry and wroth and delivered him to the torturers. She said tormentors. If you got a New International, it says to the jailhouse. Well, anyway, whatever your Bible says is a very uncomfortable place to be, I can assure you. Till he should pay what was due him. And so my heavenly Father will also do to each of you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. You don't forgive, blocks your deliverance, blocks your redemption. The devil can still have a good time with you. He can torment you. Okay. We have redemption. 1 John 1:7. Let's look at 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light and have fellowship one with the other, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And in the Greek, that the tense in that cleansing is a continuing tense. Greek has lots of tenses. English In the translation, it's difficult sometimes to get the tense. Derek says that this is a continuing tense. It's a continuing process. And so you say, if we walk in the light, as he's in the light. For in him there is no darkness. If you walk in the light, give up your sin and turn away from it, and walk in the light that he's given you, and he will give you as much light as you can walk in. And when you walk in that light, he will give you some more. More light. We say, more Jesus, Lord. That's our prayer. More Jesus. More light. He said, I am the light. We want more. He says, walk in what you have and have fellowship. We have fellowship one with another. Are you in fellowship? Because I tell you, it's in fellowship that you get to practice walking in the light. Fellowship with other Christians. Loving them. Meeting, helping meet their needs. Praying for them. Being concerned about them. Scripture says, forsake not assembling together. And so, if you walk in the light, and if you have fellowship, you walk in the light God's given you, and you're in a fellowship, and you're working in this fellowship, one with another, you won't get deceived and picked off so easy. And because the blood of Jesus Christ will continually cleanse you of all sin as you confess it and turn it loose. It's a continuing process. Because if you're walking in the light, you're staying away from sin. And if you're in fellowship, then you're answering to somebody. You're accountable. Christian life is one of accountability. You meet somebody who says, oh, I'm accountable to God. Well, I don't have anybody over me. I'm accountable to God. Praise God. I have a hard time letting that fellow lay hands on me. Everybody accountable to somebody in God's word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Let's look at Romans 5:9. Much more then, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. We've been justified by his blood. Justified. The Greek word, there's a Greek word that is ultimately translated justified and righteous. Justified generally has a legal meaning. The way I look at it is that you've been tried in the ecclesiastical court in heaven and you've been declared not guilty. You've been justified. You've been righteous, just as if you'd never sinned, because God doesn't see you. Jesus Christ is your righteousness by his blood. I told you about my experience yesterday. I talked to you about standing in my own righteousness. You know, God gave me a verse for that. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Isaiah 64. Let's turn over to that. Isaiah 64:6. He says, but you're all unclean, like an unclean thing, and all your righteousness are like filthy rags. And my marginal says filthy garment, but I looked that up in the theological textbook of the Old Testament one day, and it said menstrual cloth. Praise you, Lord. That's what your righteousness looked like to God. But thank God for Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says, of God we are in him, Jesus. And he is our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption. He is. Thank you, Lord. He's our righteousness. When God looks, he sees Jesus. When the death angel comes over, he doesn't see your righteousness. He sees the blood, and he passes over you. And the wrath comes. You've been saved from the wrath. And that destroying angel passes over, he won't see you. He'll see the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. And you say, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus took our sin, that we might have his righteousness. There was an exchange made at the cross. Romans 5:17 says that you will receive abundant grace of the gift of righteousness. That's the first grace gift listed in the Bible. The first grace gift. The free gift of righteousness. What does all this mean? It means, are you going to stand on the finished work of Jesus Christ and his blood as your righteousness? Or are you going to stand on your good works? Or are you going to be like the man at the wedding feast who came without a garment? He didn't have a wedding garment. Under the Hebrew custom, the host furnished the wedding garment. That man didn't put them on. And he was shocked because he was depending on his own righteousness. And he was bound and thrown out of the feast. You won't make it to the wedding feast of the Lamb wearing your righteousness, your good works, Jesus Christ. If you know who your righteousness is, it's by the blood of the Lamb. And you say, I've been made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. I stand before God without sin. The demons can't say that. The devil can't say that. The blood of Jesus Christ was not shed for angels, for demons, for the devil. It was shed for the seed of Abraham, you. And as you appropriate it, the demons will roar in fear and anger because they have no right to you. You've got no sin in your life. No curses on you. They got no legal right to be there. You've repented of the sin of your ancestors. Repented of your sins. Broke the curses. Claimed the blood of Jesus Christ as your righteousness. Praise your Lord. Let's look at Hebrews 13:12. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. What does sanctify mean? It means to make holy. Word saint means holy ones. And so to sanctify means to make holy, to set apart for God. You've been made holy by the blood of Jesus Christ, set apart for God. How set apart are you? Let's look at 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who calls you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to 18. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Baal? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among them. Be ye separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. Let's look at 1 Peter, one other one. Praise you, Lord Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his life in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For we spent enough time of our past lives in the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, we think it's strange. They think it's strange you're not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. People, come out from among them. Come out from among them. You get saved, don't go back down to the bar, try to save all these other folks. Get solid in the Spirit. Now, if God calls you to a ministry to do that after you've walked in it 15 or 20 years, yeah. I see so many young people, they get saved, but they worry about their friends. Just come out from among them. Be holy. Don't touch what's unclean anymore. You'll get seduced. This is one of the things that one of the real problems we have with homosexuals. They have to come out from among them. Don't walk in them. Because that seduction is so seductive, such a seductive lifestyle. Be sanctified. Live a sanctified life. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 6:19 now. Or do you not know that your body is the holy temple who is in you, whom you have from God, you are not your own? For you bought with a price. Therefore glorify God with your body and your spirit, which are God's. Let's go back over to 1 Peter 1:18. And it says, you were not redeemed with corruptible things like gold and silver from the aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish and without spot. The purchase price of your body was Jesus Christ's blood. Keeping your finger there in 1 Corinthians 6, go back one page to chapter 3, verse 16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and the temple of God dwells in you? Anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, whose temple you are. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Don't. First place, God owns your body. It's not your body. You don't have a right to do with your body as you see fit because it's not yours. Jesus Christ bought and paid for your body. Conversely, he's the landlord. And if you're living in an apartment and something goes wrong with it, it's the landlord's responsibility to fix it. And you know, if you get sick or you have problems with this tent, you call up the landlord and say, Lord, something wrong with your body down here. It needs to be fixed. In the name of Jesus! Just as long as you didn't destroy it. If you did, you need to repent and ask forgiveness. Praise you, Lord Jesus. And so we see, you have been redeemed, cleansed, justified, sanctified, and purchased through the temple of the Holy Spirit. And you say, by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you say, what you do with the devil, you say, devil, Ephesians 1:7 says, in him I have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. I have been redeemed, my blood, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Romans 5:9 says, much more now I have been justified by his blood and saved from the wrath to come. I've been justified, made righteous, just as if I'd never sinned. 1 John 1:7 says, if I walk in the light, he's in the light. The blood of Jesus Christ continually cleanses me from all sin. Hebrews 13:12 says that Jesus suffered without the gate that he might sanctify the people with his blood. I've been sanctified, made holy, set apart for God. You got no right to me. By the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, what, know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body and your spirit, which are his. For you were purchased not with corruptible gold or silver, but the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb without blemish. Satan, I've been redeemed, cleansed, justified, sanctified by the blood of Jesus. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You've got no right to me. You've got no power over me. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That's the blood, people. The blood of Jesus. You hear people talking about pleading the blood. I don't find the word plead in the Bible. But I do find this in the Bible concerning the blood and a lot more. It says the blood, if the blood of Jesus Christ, said if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled will cleanse to the purifying of the flesh, how much more will the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb without blemish, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?
Amen.
Amen. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I'm not going to get into the great and mighty promises, or we'll be into them till 6 o'clock. At this time, I want all of y'all to stand up and stretch a little bit. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hold up your hands and praise Him. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Stretch and touch the ceiling. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord God. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise Him, people. Praise Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we praise your name, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord. Great and mighty is your name, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you and bless you and we glorify you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's all sit down now. We're going to call out some spirits by the blood of Jesus. First, I'm going to lead you in a confession for deliverance. And then we're going to bind some spirits and we're going to call them out. Now, any of you have never been in a mass deliverance service before, keep both feet on the floor in front of you and don't cross your hands. But you remember that when you were a child, if you crossed your fingers, you could tell a lie. Or if you want somebody asked you something, you know, and you didn't want to, and you wanted to agree with them, but you really didn't want to do it, so you crossed your fingers and held behind your back. So, yeah, that's a witchcraft sign. Means I don't mean it. The devil is an absolute legalist. I'll give you an example. A friend of mine had a relative that died and left him quite a bit of money. And that money was legally his the day they probated the will. But there were some other relatives who felt like that they ought to have part of that money. And they hired themselves a crooked lawyer and contested that will. And the lawyer was a very intelligent man. And he knew he did every trick in the book. And he kept that inheritance tied up for over 10 years. Now, that money was legally my friend's from the day that will was put, but he did not see it for 10 years because this fella kept pulling every trick in the book to keep it tied up. Now, that's what the devil will do to you. He's a legalist. He's a legal lawyer. And he will pull every dirty trick in the book. He'll pick out a sin here. He'll pick a curse there if a curse hadn't been committed. He'll pick this and he'll pick that and he'll pick the other even if you cross your fingers and make a confession. He said, well, the fingers are crossed. He didn't mean it. That's just legalism. But the devil is an expert. He's been in business a long time. That's the reason I say that we need to keep both feet on the floor. Don't cross your hands or your legs. Now, I'm going to call out a number of spirits. Please don't pray cafeteria and think, well, I got that one, I may have that one. No, I wouldn't have that one, and pick and choose. If they ain't there, they won't come out. But if you feel some rumbling and it wants to come out, let it go. Don't worry about what these other people say. They don't know you, and they worried about their own demons. They're not worried about yours. Just let it go. You worried about losing your dignity? You got to choose between your dignity and your demons. Let your demons go. You can get your dignity back. Amen. Amen. Let it go. Whatever happens, let it happen. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. You got something in your life that's so horrible you want to talk about it? God knows it already. You got this sin, this horrible sin, you don't want to confess, you don't want to confess God, God knows it already, so is the devil. Like I told the young lady, you know, she had the illegitimate child, and she was crying, asked me if I'd take care of it. Help her, I said, honey, you could have killed this baby 6 or 8 months ago, and nobody would have known in town but you, God, and the devil. You could have gone out of town, paid the abortion $300, and killed that baby, and nobody ever known you were pregnant. But God, you, and the devil. And the devil would never let you forgotten. He'd have tormented you forever and put all kind of stuff on you because of that. I said, honey, I will help you in any way I can. You had your baby. You didn't kill it. You confessed your sin. And I'll do anything I can to help you raise that child. And that's the way I feel. I don't condemn these unmarried mothers. I pray for them. And I extend all I can to them, even those that are still in sin. I just weep and ask God to bring them to salvation. And I have lots of them. I have lots of them. And I just weep for them and I cry for them. But the one thing that I am proud of, they didn't kill their baby. They had their baby. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I ask you to bless every one of those girls, Lord God. Bring them all to salvation, Lord. Provide godly husbands for them, Lord. Oh, Lord, just touch them, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Oh, God, you said you'd be a father to the fatherless, Lord, and a husband to the widow. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I hold these children up to you, Lord. These children, raising children, Lord God, I hold them up to you, Lord. I ask you, Lord, for forgiveness, Lord God. I ask you for mercy and grace, not for justice, Lord, but for your mercy and your grace, Lord God. Lord, I ask you to send the angels out to protect them, Lord God. I ask for you send the angels out, Lord, to draw them in. Draw them in by your Spirit, Lord God. Bring godly men into their lives, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Break the bondage to drugs and to alcohol and to whoredom in the name of Jesus, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord God. Oh, God, help our children, Lord. Help my children. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, people, you need to intercede for the children. You need to intercede. I don't care where you are. If you're on the street, walk down the street. God lays it on your heart. You need to speak it out. For the prayer of a righteous person affects much. You never know what's going to happen. All I can say is God's faithful. He's a faithful God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I want you to repeat after me. Thank you, Lord, for dying for my sins. For your glorious resurrection. Making me a new creature in Christ. By faith in your precious blood. Dear Lord, I have a confession to make. I've sought supernatural experience apart from you. I've disobeyed your word. I want you to help me. Renounce all these things. And cleanse me. In body, soul, and spirit. In Jesus' name. I renounce witchcraft. Magic. Ouija boards and all occult games. Pronounce all seances, clairvoyance, mediums, ESP and second sight, mind reading. Renounce all fortune telling, palm reading, tea leaf reading, crystal balls, tarot and card laying. Renounce all astrology. And interest in horoscopes. Renounce the heresy of reincarnation. Renounce all hypnosis. I break any curse placed on me from any occult source in Jesus' name. I renounce all curiosity about either the future or the past, which is outside your will. I renounce water witching, dousing, levitation, body lifting, table tipping, psychometry, automatic writing. I renounce astral projection and all demonic skills. I renounce all literature I've ever read in these fields. And vow to destroy such books in my possession. I now break. In the name of Jesus Christ. All psychic heredity. In any demonic hold. From my family line. As a result of disobedience. From any of my ancestors. Also of physical or mental illness. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. I renounce everything psychic or occultic. I also break all demonic subjugation to my mother, my father, my grandparents, or any other living human being, or any dead human being. In the name of Jesus. I renounce every cult that denies the blood of Jesus. Renounce every philosophy that denies the divinity of Jesus. I call upon the Lord to set me free. Lord, I have another confession to make. I have not loved, but resented certain people. I call upon you, Lord, to help me forgive them. I do now forgive. Now, I will pause for a minute. Anybody that you've got out in your heart again, anybody that the Holy Spirit brings to mind, forgive them. Speak out their name very quietly. But you need to speak it out. Anybody living or dead, I do now forgive myself. In the name of Jesus. I renounce every evil spirit that binds or torments me. And I call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to set me free. In the name of Jesus. Psalms 107 verse 4 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who he's redeemed out of the hand of the enemy." I want you to repeat after me. Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. All my sins have been forgiven. I have been redeemed out of the hand of the enemy by the blood of Jesus. Romans 5:9. Much more now. I have been justified by his blood and saved from the wrath to come. I have been justified, made righteous, just as if I'd never sinned, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13:12. Jesus suffered without the gate, that he might sanctify the people with his blood. I have been sanctified, made holy, set apart for God by the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. And then 1 Peter 1:18. Know you not that you were not redeemed with corruptible gold or silver, but by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb without blemish. Satan, I serve you notice. I have been redeemed, made righteous, sanctified. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You have no right to me. No power over me. By the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, all you redemption, all you rejection spirits, I bind you in the name of Jesus and command you to be gone. Leave God's people in the name of Jesus. These are God's people. Go. All rejection be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. All rejection, rejection by mother, rejection by father, rejection by siblings, by wife, by children. All rejection, go. Go. Rejection on the job, go. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Rejection in the church, go. 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 All rejection, go in the name of Jesus Christ. These are God's children in the name of Jesus. Go. Go. All fear. 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 Fear of not being loved. Fear of not being wanted. Fear of not being good enough. Fear of failure. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. All fear. For fear has torment. Legion fear. Witchcraft fear. Fear of bondage. Bondage fear. Bondage to fear. Go. All fear. Fear. Go. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. All fear. I bind you fear and command you to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. Go fear. Go. Go. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ does cast out all fear, because fear has torment in the name of Jesus. All lust. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Go. All lust. Go. Go. Lust for things. Lust for position. Lust for prestige. Lust for power. Go. All witchcraft. Go. Go. Witchcraft. 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 I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. All witchcraft and sorcery. Go in the name of Jesus. Go. Go in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. Go. 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 All witchcraft. All sorcery. All the occult. Go. All alcoholism. Go. All bondage. Bondage to alcohol. Bondage to cigarettes. Bondage to drugs. Go. All sorcery. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you all in the name of Jesus. Go. 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 Leave God's people. Leave them now. Leave them. Go. All bitterness, all roots of bitterness, root of bitterness, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. As Moses put the stick in the pool at Marah and made the bitter pool sweet, I put Jesus Christ in the bitter pool. Get out in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, bitterness, go. All bitterness, all rebellion, all witchcraft, go. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. All bitterness and rebellion, go in the name of Jesus. Go, go. All bitterness, all rebellion, go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. Go.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.